Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Matthew chapter 12, verses 14 through 21. The Reverend Dr. Brian Gauthier is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Reading from Matthew chapter 12. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him, how to destroy him. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. And many followed him, and he healed them all, and ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus, amen. After two perceived violations of the Sabbath in chapter 12, the Pharisees now more explicitly seek to destroy Jesus. Matthew indicates that Jesus was aware of their plotting and withdrew from the area, but continued to do the work of the Messiah. Here Jesus quotes Isaiah's first servant song from Isaiah chapter 42, at least the first four verses, which Matthew notes clearly identifies this Jesus of Nazareth with the long foretold servant of Yahweh in Isaiah. Certainly, Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy and rightly demonstrates true servanthood in his ministry. But I would also contend that it would be important to see Isaiah's words referring not only to Jesus, but also first to the nation of Israel and then Jesus. As his covenant people, the nation was to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, consecrated as such in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. As the Levites were for Israel, so Israel was to be for the world. They were to bring the holiness of Yahweh to the nations and to bring the nations to the holiness of Yahweh. Israel was Yahweh's servant nation, chosen and delivered by Yahweh himself so that Yahweh's justice would extend to the Gentiles. Israel was to live differently than the nations of the world. They were not to quarrel or cry aloud. They were to be gentle and humble, as they would be Yahweh's vessels for his justice and his law, or his Torah, to extend to all the earth. This was, in fact, part of Yahweh's new thing that he details in Isaiah 43, 19 through 21. And he planned to work this through his servant Israel. Well, biblical history does not need much examining to see how Israel failed in its commission. Shortly after these words in Isaiah chapter 42, the prophet describes Israel as blind and deaf, asking, "Who is blind but my servant, or deaf but my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear." Later in Isaiah 48, before introducing his new servant, Yahweh says of Israel, "Because I know that you are obstinate, and your neck is an iron sinew, and your forehead brass." Israel had become what it had worshipped, lifeless, like the idols. The irony behind this gospel text is not lost. The same issue in Isaiah 42 persists in the land of Israel as Israel's teachers fail in their commission to serve as Yahweh's ambassadors. Rather than the Torah of Yahweh extending to the nations and bringing light and life because it is good, the Pharisees had overdeveloped and weaponized the law of Yahweh against God's people. Rather than the Torah bringing life to Israel and to the world, the Pharisees utilized it to bind its hearers. Leading up to this reading in Matthew, the Pharisees believed and taught that man was made for the Sabbath rather than the Sabbath being made for man. They had eyes but did not see, and they had ears but did not hear. How often that is the case for us as well. Having heard the word of God, we manipulate it for our own gain. Having received the light of Christ's forgiveness freely, we frequently are hard-hearted about extending that forgiveness to our brothers and sisters who have sinned against us. Our rebellion, stubbornness, and apathy too often mirrors that of the failed servant Israel. And yet what Matthew does with this text is identify Jesus, not the nation, as the fulfillment of the servant song. This servant is different than Israel. Having been anointed by the Spirit in the Jordan and affirmed as the beloved son before John the Baptizer, he proclaims justice. He does not break the bruised reeds, nor does he quench the smoldering wicks. A closer look at the wider context of the original song in Isaiah 42 includes the servant opening the eyes of the blind and being a light for the nations. That is the ministry of Jesus, the Messiah, a ministry that finds its consummation not in political dominance or bloodshed as a result of war, but through the blood shed on the cross as one who does not quarrel or make his voice known in the streets. The final servant song of Isaiah, the fourth one, expands on the character of this servant. Isaiah writes, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and like a sheep that is before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And in doing so, he bore the sins of many, and by his death made many to be accounted as righteous." This Jesus is Yahweh's servant. What does that mean for servant Israel? And what does that mean for you? Well, the nation certainly was decommissioned as his servant in Isaiah 48:4, but there's actually a recommissioning. As Isaiah describes the eternal covenant of peace in chapter 54, he ends with this final line. "This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord." 54:17. Israel was not cast off completely, but by the atoning work of the servant, it is reconstituted as a servant of Yahweh. Ultimately, this is what Paul gets at when he uses the expression "in Christ" some 80 plus times in his epistles. Those who are in Christ are servants of Yahweh and servants with a purpose. St. Peter says it in this way, borrowing the language of Moses in Exodus 19 when he writes about the baptized. He says in 1 Peter 2, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of flesh, which war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." So St. Matthew identifies Jesus as Yahweh's servant to bring about the completion of what Yahweh sought to do through Israel, but in a more complete way. At the center of all things is Jesus, upon whom the Spirit of God rests, who was crucified for your sins and raised for your justification. And on account of his work, you are incorporated into this servanthood, made to be not only his servants, but his sons and daughters. To do what St. Peter says in his next chapter, to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You, dear friends in Christ, are to be to the world what the Levites were to Israel, and what Israel was to be for the world. Credited to you is the righteousness of Christ, received by faith. Upon you rests the Spirit who was given at your baptism, and in your ears are the words of our Heavenly Father, my servants whom I have chosen, my beloved, with whom my soul is well pleased. Now you are to be like Yahweh's servant Jesus to the world, even as you wait for Christ to come again in glory to make all things new. God grant this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast to Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.